B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Pei Gimel. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, 10 lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Mishnah, Ho'atzomois, the bones of the Korban Pesach. We'll soon see in the Gemara which bones this is referring to, but these are bones which were left over by the end of the night. V'hagidin, the sinews, V'hanoisar, and anything of the Korban Pesach that was expected to be eaten and was supposed to be eaten and didn't get eaten and is called Noisar, Yisrafu, have to be burnt. When do they get burnt? B'shishasa. They cannot burn it the next morning, the morning of the 15th of Nisan, because it's Yom Tov. So they have to burn it the next morning, the first morning of Chol HaMoed, which is the 16th of Nisan. Chol Tezayin Liyos B'Shabbos, if the 16th of Nisan is on Shabbos, which means if Pesach was on a Friday, then Yisrafu B'Yudzayin, then they can only burn the Noisar or the Atzomis V'Gidin, which were left over, they burn them only on the 17th. Lefish einon doichin, because the mitzvah of burning kochim that got left over, loyes haShabbos, it does not override, not Shabbos, v'loyes Yom Tov, nor does it override Yom Tov. Now, what we have to make clear here from the Mishnah, the Mishnah said three things, atzomois, gidin, and noisar. Now, the real truth is, the only part of the Korban Pesach that needs to be burnt after the time when it could be eaten, and as we've discussed in the Mishnah exactly when to do that, is only Noisar. Noisar means a behema, means any part of any edible part of an animal, of a korban that did not get eaten, was not consumed within the time frame allotted by the Torah, becomes Noisar and has to be burnt. And Noisar normally means you could have eaten it, you should have eaten it, you didn't eat it, you were lazy or careless, and Rashi calls it atzelim, and therefore it has to be burnt. Now the Mishnah singles out, besides for noisar, which is the general term used for all those parts of the korban, the Mishnah singles out atzomois and gidin, the bones and the sinews, which is very interesting because the only bones and sinews which have to be burnt are those that are in the bracket of noisar. And so why is it singled out? And why are you saying, as if you say, besides for Noisar that's going to be burnt, there's certain bones which we know they're going to be burnt. Well, how do you know they're going to be burnt? Eat those bones, if you can eat them. If you can't eat them, then if they're not edible, they're not Noisar. If you can eat them, do eat them. So obviously, and the same applies to the Gidin, we're talking about Atzomois or Gidin, bones or sinews, which are not left over. They are edible, and therefore the halachas, the time frame within which they have to be consumed, does apply. But since there's a reason that they're not going to be, they cannot be eaten, therefore it's not your typical noisar, which should have been eaten and wasn't, but they are atomis and gidin, which we know from the start that even though they are part of the animal, even though they are edible, and therefore the halachas of Noisar would apply to them, but we know in advance that they're not going to be eaten, they're going to be left over, and they're going to have to be burnt. And we have to understand which atzomis and which gidin these are referring to. Says the Gemara, Omer of Meri bar Avua, Omer of Yitzchok. Atzmois kochim, and this is a very general question, not necessarily Korban Pesach, when you have bones of a korbanos of kochim, sheshimshu noisar. That means we have to understand, bones in and of themselves are not edible. What part of it is edible? The moyach ho'etzem, what we call the marrow, the edible part inside the bones, that is edible, and therefore only that could become noisar. And every other korban, they would break open the bones, they would eat the moyach, they would eat the marrow, and then the bones could be thrown out. The question is, what happens if the marrow was not removed, and the time limit for this animal, for this korban, arrived, and now the marrow inside, which could have and should have been eaten and wasn't eaten, is now called noisar. And now the bone in which the marrow lies is now serving the marrow. The question is, the atzomis kochim, the bones of a hegdash, of a korban, sheshimshu noisar, that served the marrow inside them after they became noisar, do they have the same halachas of noisar inasmuch as that the Amatame Yodayim, the Chachomim said that Noisar, any part of the korban that's left over that should have been consumed, if one touches it, it's Matame one's hands. The question is, the bones themselves which served the Noisar, do they have the same status as Noisar and hence they'll be Matame the Yodayim or not? So it was said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok that the bones which serve the marrow, they are matame the yodaim, hoil v'nase bosis l'davar osor, and since they became a base, they are supporting and holding and containing the marrow, which is now osor, which is noisar, they therefore also become, they have the same halachas, and they are also matame es hayodaim. Says the Gemara, name of Masayale, we're going to try and bring proof to what was just said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak from our Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? The bones, the sinews, and any remaining part of the korban has to be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. The Gemara is now inquiring, these bones that need to be burnt, what type of bones are we talking about? Are we talking about a type of bones that didn't have any marrow in? They're not marrow bones at all. Then lama b'sreifa. Then they were never edible. Why do they need to be burnt? Nishdinu, just throw them out. They were never edible. They never became noisar. Noisar means that they could have been consumed, and whether they should or shouldn't have been consumed depends on other halachas we're going to see later. But they could have been, theoretically, they're edible, and they were not eaten and not consumed on time. But if these are not edible, there's nothing inside them which is edible, just throw them out. We take it for granted we're talking about bones that do have a marrow. So, if you say that the bones which contain the marrow, and after the marrow became noisar, that means they're serving the marrow, is as if they have the same halachas as the marrow themselves. For we can understand that you have to burn these bones because they were serving noisar, and in the same way as the noisar has to be burnt, then the bones should also be burnt. But if you say that the fact that the bones are serving the marrow is insignificant and they do not receive any of the halachas of the marrow themselves, why do you have to burn those bones? You could save on the effort of having to burn them. You can save on the wood you need to burn them. Nidbarinu, just break these bones. Now, it's true that the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to break the bones. But when are you not allowed to break the bones? Only all the while that the animal is kosher, that you could eat the Korban Pesach. Once that time is over and the animal became Korban, there is no longer a prohibition to break those bones. So Nidbarinu, break open the bones after it became noisar, unachalzo lemoyach, and empty out the marrow inside them, lemoyach ditu, empty out their marrow, venisrafe, and burn the marrow, because the marrow is edible and is noisar, venishdinu leditu, and they themselves, the bones themselves, just throw them out. Why do you have to bother and going to the expense of burning them? Elolav shmami, no, if the Mishnah says that there are bones that need to be burnt, it must be there are marrow bones that have to be burnt, and we cannot empty out the marrow. It must be that shimush of the noisar is milsahi, is significant, and therefore the bones themselves also need to be burnt. So this is the Gemara saying, Neima, can we bring proof from the Mishnah to Rabbi Yitzchak as we just did? Omri, the Chachomim answered back, and they said, Loi, you cannot bring proof from our Mishnah that Shimush Noisar Milsahi. La'olam ein melacha Shimush Noisar Lav Milsa. It could well be that the virtue of the fact that the bones are serving the marrow does not give them, and is not significant. And therefore, regarding other kochim, and regarding the Netilas Yodayim, the Tumas Yodayim, it's not going to be Tomei. However, over here, so why then do you have to burn these bones? Why can't you break them open, remove the marrow, and just discard the bones? He's kosovar, because our Mishnah may hold, boy, when it says ve'etzem le'isishbaru boy, that you're not allowed, when it says you should not break the bones of it, then we thought it meant boy only when it's kosher, but not when it's posel. So we said, now it's become noisar, break open the bones, there's no issa to break the bones. Says the Gemara, no, it could be. Our Mishnah holds, boy, b'kosher v'afilu b'posel, that the word boy is not to be used to deduce from there that it's only also to break the bone when it's kosher. No, the issa to break bones is permanent. Even after the bones, even after the animal becomes noisar, and the marrow inside is noisar, nonetheless, you're still not allowed to break the bones. So you have no choice. You have to burn the bones because the marrow inside is noisar, and you have to burn the marrow. And if you can't break the bones, how are you going to burn the marrow? You have to burn the whole bone. Vafilu b'posel. Asks the Gemara, vafilu b'posel salkataitach. Could it really be that the isar to break the bones is even after the animals become posel? Vatnan, this seems to contradict a Mishnah. We'll see in the Mishnah. Avol hamoisir b'toyer. If somebody leaves over, he should be eating the korban before the time is up. And what happens if he leaves over and doesn't eat it, even when the animal is tohir? And kol shekin, if when the animal is tomei, he didn't finish eating the whole korban, and it became noisar. Or v'hashoyber, or if somebody breaks one of the bones of the korban pesach, b'tomei, after the animal became tomei, once it's tomei, the animal is posel, and he broke a bone when it was posel, einei sofig es arboim, he does not get the punishment of the lashes, the malchus, for breaking the bones or for allowing it to become noisar. So you see clearly that breaking the bones after it became tomei is not punishable by malchus. So you see that there's no issa to break the bones after it becomes posel. If there's no issa to break the bones, then why in our Mishnah do you have to burn the bones? Break the bones. And then again, the answer would be that the reason you have to burn the bones is because they served the marrow after it became noisar. And then again, it would be proof to what Rabbi Yitzchok said. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. It could be that our Mishnah says you have to burn the bones because you're not allowed to break the bones even after it becomes posel. And in the Mishnah that we just quoted now, that somebody breaks the bones, he doesn't get malchus. And it's not a contradiction. Why? Because it depends. Kan shehoyso lo yishas hakosher. In our Mishnah, we're talking about where the marrow was once mutter, or was never. You could never eat it because you can't break the bones. But the marrow was edible. There was a time where, as far as the halachas of the korban are concerned, had you been able to get to the marrow, you would actually have been able to eat the marrow. And since it had a shas hakosher, therefore you're not allowed to break those bones even. That means if the korban had a shas hakosher, you're not allowed to break the bones, even if it becomes posel afterwards, namely, even if it becomes noisar. However, can, when it says that you don't get punished, you don't get the malchus of breaking the bones, which it seems to say that it's that the is of breaking the bones doesn't apply, shaloi hoisolei shas hakosher. It's talking about that became tomei before they sprinkled the blood, before they threw the blood on the mizbeach. And since before the Zrikas Adam, you're not allowed to eat from the korban, it became tomei before Zrikas Adam, and therefore, since it never had a shas hakosher, it was never fit to be eaten as a korban, therefore the iser of breaking the bones never actually applied to them, and therefore, after it's asa, when it becomes asa, you can break those bones. Continues the Gemara, Uman Tana, and who is this Tana? Who actually does Shonile that differentiates between Shahoisole Shas HaKosher Loloi Hoisole Shas HaKosher, that regarding the Issa of breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach, that it makes a difference as to whether it had a Shas HaKosher and then you're not allowed to break the bones even after it becomes posel, or when it didn't have a Shas HaKosher and then you are allowed to break the bones? Says the Gemara Rabbi Yaakov, it's going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov in the following Braisa. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, that the Pasuk says, Ve'etzem loisishbur uboy, you're not allowed to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. And the Braisa says, Boy b'kosher, v'loi b'posel. The Issa not to break the bones is only when the animal is kosher, not when the animal is posel, which is what we suggested initially. And now the Braisa is going to bring a machlekes tanoim regarding when this is true. Rabbi Yaakov Oimer, Hoysolu Shas HaKosher V'Nifsel, Yesh Bei Mishum Shviras HaHoetzem. Even though the Tanna Kamma says it only applies when it's kosher, not posel, what does that mean? If it was never kosher, if Hoysolu Shas HaKosher, there was a time when it was kosher, when the animal was kosher, which means the Zrikas Adam was done Bekashrus v'nifsal, and afterwards it became possible, as in our Mishnah it later became nicer, then yesh bei mishum shvira, so etzem, the prohibition of breaking the bones still apply. Loi hoysoi l'sha'as ha'kosher, however, if it never had a sha'as ha'kosher, if it was never kosher, for example, it became tomei before the zrikas adam, ein bei mishum shvira, so etzem, that's what it says, v'loi b'posel, that the isser of shvira so etzem doesn't apply. That was Rabbi Yaakov's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon argues and says, Echod ze ve'echod ze ein bo mishum shvira so etzem, as we tried to say initially, Rabbi Shimon says that once it became possible, it doesn't matter if it had a sha'as ha'kosher or if it didn't have a sha'as ha'kosher, there is no iser of shvira so etzem. And the way our Gemara is learning to refute the proof from our Mishnah for Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that the reason in our Mishnah that you have to burn the bones is not because shimish noisar, that it was serving the noisar milsehi, rather it is because the is of shvira so etzem still applies, because it's conforming with the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov that once it had the sha'as ha'kosher, the is of shvira so etzem remains even after it became posel. And now we're going back to the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. What did Rabbi Yitzchak, what was said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that Atzmais kochim sheshimshu noisar, that Rabbi Yitzchak did maintain that serving the marrow, serving the noisar, is significant, and therefore the bones themselves, after they served the marrow, after the marrow became noisar, then they are metameis yodaim, in the same way as noisar is metameis yodaim. So asks the Gemara, meisvei, kol atzmais hakochim. The Braisa says that all the bones of kochim ain't to unim sreifa. The bones of Hegdash, of the Korbanos that are left over, they do not need to be burnt. Chutz mi'atzmos ha-Pesach, besides the bones of the Korban Pesach, they do need to be burnt. Mipnei ha-Takola, because of some concern that we have an issue here with those bones of Korban Pesach that we don't have with other Korbanos. So now the Gemara is going to discuss. Hani atzmos heichadomi. Which bones is this braisa referring to? If it's talking about bones that contain no marrow at all, lomalus reifa, why do you have to burn them? Even by the Korban Pesach, those bones that never held a marrow, they were never edible. No part of those bones were, those bones are not edible in any way, and therefore then the noisa doesn't apply to them. Why do you have to burn them? Elopshita, we take for granted it is bumoach, it must be, it does have a marrow. According to what Rabbi Yitzchak said, that if the bones are serving the marrow, then milsahi, then the bones themselves, they have some of the halachas of the marrow themselves. So I can understand why the bones of the Korban Pesach need to be burnt, because you cannot get to the marrow, and the marrow is, or even if you could get to the marrow, but you definitely cannot get to the marrow before it became noisar, because you're not allowed to break the bones, and therefore the bones served the marrow, and therefore you have to burn the bones as well. But with other kochim, if you say that shimush noisar, or shimush of the noisar milsahi, then why do you not have to burn those bones of all the other korbonis? Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, Hochab Mayaskinon. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok explains as follows, Kegoin Shemot on Chalutzin. We're talking about that you found the bones that have already been emptied. There's no marrow in them anymore. So Atzmeis Kochim, so regarding regular Kochim animals, De'ein Behem Mishum Shvira So Etzem, where there's no Isser, there's no prohibition to break the bones at any time, then kamid in havu noisar choltzin, who we assume that before them it became noisar, they already opened up the bones and removed the marrow in order to have the mitzvah of eating the kochim, eating the korban, and not making the marrow become noisar. V'lo havu shimush noisar, and in that case they were emptied before it became noisar. The bones never served noisar, so you don't need to burn them. V'lo bo yisreifa, they don't need to be burnt. Atzmos ha-Pesach, however, regarding the bones of the Pesach, the yesh ben mishum shvira so etzem, then before they became noisar, there was definitely an issa to break the bones. Then Eimer, we should say, lebosa de nehava noisar hu decholtzinu. Then we should say that that if you find the bones of Korban Pesach that have been emptied, we take it for granted, as we saw the opinion of Reb Shimon, that after it became noisar, you're allowed to break the bones. We'll assume that they didn't break the bones when it was also to break the bones, rather they broke the bones after it was mutter to break the bones, after it became noisar. And since when it became noisar, they were still the moach, the marrow was still in the bones, v'havadu shimush noisar, and therefore the bones were serving the marrow, and therefore you have to burn the bones as well. Rav Zvid Omar, who says, who argues with Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, and he says differently. He says, Hocha b'may oskinon, that this braisa that we mentioned here that differentiates between the bones of the Korban Pesach and the bones of regular kodshim is talking about kegoin shemotzon tzvurin tzvurin, where he found piles of bones. And the top layer of the bones he saw had all been broken open, had all been emptied out. Umehen chalutzin. And some of them were emptied out. And he holds, in this point, he argues with Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, and he says that even the bones of the Korban Pesach that you find them after they've been emptied out, you're allowed to assume that they got emptied out before they became noisar, and therefore the bones do not have to be burnt. That means the issa of shimush noisar is not strong enough that when you have a doubt when the bones actually got emptied, that you have to burn it. Not like, and in contrary to what Rav Nachman Beit Yitzchok said. So he says, umehen chalutzim, and some of the bones had been emptied out, and any bone that's been emptied out, irrespective of whether it's regular kodshim or Korban Pesach, does not need to be burnt. Atzma is kodshim. The question now is, do I need to check the rest of the pile of bones to see have they been emptied out or not? So atzma is kodshim, regarding regular, the bones of other animals of kodshim, de'ein bem shiraso etzem, wherever there's no isser to break the bones, l'kulu havacholitzluhu, where you can take for granted that all the bones have been emptied out, va'ochiluhu, and all the marrow of all those bones have been eaten, v'loi boyas sreifa, and you don't need to burn any of those bones, you don't even need to go through the pile, you can throw out all the bones. However, atzmois ha-pesach, the bones, the pile of bones from the Korban Pesach, the yeshbem mishum shviras etzem, where there is an issa to break those bones, dilma, it could very well be that hani de choltzinhu, that the only those that were emptied out have been emptied out, ulahanoch loy choltzinhu, and those that have not yet been emptied out, it could well be that not all of them have been emptied out and some still have the marrow in, or boyas treifa, and therefore all the bones have to be, that means the rest of the pile, you have to check to see if they've been emptied out. If they haven't been emptied out, then they have to be burnt. And that is a second explanation to that braisa. Continues the Gemara. So we've discussed the first part of the Gemara we've learnt about is atzomois, and now we're going to move on to the gidin, the sinews. So if you want to, when we get back to our Mishnah, where the atzomois were singled out beyond noisar, yes, because noisar is only the part of the korban that could have and should have been eaten and wasn't eaten. Atzomois are the part that theoretically could have been eaten, but were not allowed to be eaten because we're talking about the marrow inside the bones. The marrow inside the bones, even though it's edible, you're not allowed to get to them because you're not allowed to break the bones. And therefore, they are mentioned separately. And now we're going to discuss the sinews that have also been mentioned separately. And many of the sinews in an animal are regular edible parts of the animal and could be eaten, should be eaten. There's a mitzvah to eat them, a chiyuv to eat them, and if they get left over, they would be included in the bracket of noisar. If, however, the Mishnah singled out sinews as if to say, besides for noisar, certain sinews are definitely going to be have to be burnt, we have to know what they are. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda Marav, Kol Hagidin Bosar. All the sinews in the body of an animal are considered the edible. They have the same halachas as the meat of the animal. Chutz mi gidei hatzavar, besides for the sinews in the neck of the animal, which are very, very hard and stiff and are like wood and are totally inedible. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we learnt in our Mishnah, Ho atzomois, the bones of Hagidin, the sinews of Hanoisar, and the Noisar, Yisrafu betezayin, are burnt on the 16th of Nisan. Hani Gidin, these sinews mentioned in our Mishnah, Hechadomi, what are they talking about? Ile Megide Basar, are they talking about the regular Gidin that have the status of Basar of meat? Nechlinu, why do you say sinews, the Gidin, have to be burnt on the 16th of Nisan? No, those sinews should be eaten on the night of the 15th. If they get left over, okay, that's Noisar. Noisar is mentioned independently. Ve'ide Itoisar, if it's just because they got left over, Hainu Noisar, that's Noisar. Elopshita must be talking about that sinews which are not considered Basar. So which sinews are not considered Basar? Gidei Tzavar, the sinews in the neck of the animal. So Iomras Bishleim Basar Ninu, if you say that even the sinews in the neck, they are considered Basar, they are edible, then an amtulahachi boyasrefu, then we can understand why they need to be burnt. Even though most people won't eat them because they're very stiff, they'll get left over and they'll have to be burnt. But we can understand that noisar could apply to them. Eloi omras lav basar ninu. But according to what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, that the gidei tzavar are not considered basar at all, lomalu srefa, then why is there any srefa? Why do you have to burn them at all? It's not part of it's not an edible part of the animal. Srefa noisar doesn't apply, and hence srefa doesn't apply to it. And here we're going to have three different explanations in the Gemara. What type of sinews are not regular sinews that could and should have been eaten? Nonetheless, they are edible, and therefore noisar applies to them. Omer of Chizda, lo nitzrecho elo legid hanosher. We know that in the thigh of the animal there's a sinew called gid hanosher, which the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. So if that means in the event that it's definitely gid hanosher, it's also to eat it, again, noisar won't apply to it because it's not allowed to be eaten at all. Valibud Rabbi Yehuda, however, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible to have an issue of gid hanosher and nonetheless noisar would apply to it. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eine noyeg elo ba'achas. It's clear that when the Torah said you're not allowed to eat gid hanosher, it was one of the two thighs, either the right or the left. Vadas machras, the brain, the mind seems to understand or seems to decide that shel yamin. Then it would seem that the one that the Torah said is osa is the right hand one, the gid hanosher from the right hand leg of the animal. And therefore, since saying the way what the Gemara means to say here is that that we don't know on an absolute level whether the Isser of Gid Hanosher is from the right-hand thigh or the left-hand one. We don't know. It's probably the right-hand one. But since it's not absolutely the right-hand one, it could be the left-hand one. Therefore, we're not allowed to eat either of them, even though Min HaTorah only one of them is Asar. So I'm not allowed to eat any. And the one which, according to the real truth, is not gid hanosher, that one could be eaten, theoretically, and therefore it will become noisar. So in every set of gid hanosher, you've got one which is also to be eaten be'etzem because it's gid hanosher, and therefore there's no noisar to it. The other one, which you just don't know if it's gid hanosher, but one of them is definitely not gid hanosher, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it, it will become noisar and has to be burnt. Says the Gemara of Elo, according to what Rav Chisda have just said, Tifshoit, then you should be able to verify another issue, because the Gemara, and this is a Gemara elsewhere, where the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadik actually discussed whether when Rabbi Yehuda said that Hadas Machras Shel Yamin, that it seems that when the Torah said that the one that which is also is the right hand one, does that mean that he absolutely verified it's definitely the right hand one? Or, no, it seems to be the right-hand one, but it's not 100% certain that it's the right-hand one, and therefore we're not allowed to eat either. And according to the way Rav Chisda just explained our Mishnah, it must be that there's still some doubt, because if it's 100% certain that it's the right-hand one, then the right-hand one is also to eat, there's no noisar. The left-hand one is definitely mutter to eat, so eat it. Why do you have to burn it? Why do you take for granted that it has to be burnt? So that's what the Gemara is asking. The Elotif Shait at least verified the Sfuke Mesabkelel Rabbi Yehuda, that when Rabbi Yehuda said that it's probably the right hand one, it was still a doubt. It wasn't certain that it's the right hand one. Di Mifshat Pritele, because if it's clarified that the Gid Hanosher is the right hand one, Hahid Dehatera, Nechle, then the left hand one you can eat. Udi Isura, and the other one, Nishadya, just throw it out. There's no Noisar on it. Lomale Sreifa, why do you have to burn it? Omer of Ikur Bachinen, or of Ikur Bachinen said no. It could well be that Rabbi Yehuda knew exactly that is definitely the right-hand one, but Kagoyin is talking about Shehukru, that after you took out the two Gidanoshas and it was clear this is the right one, this is the left one. Indeed, the right one can be thrown out, the left one can be eaten. But after that, Ulabasayif Nisarvu, they got mixed together, they got confused. And now I don't know anymore which one is the right one, which is the left one. So I'm not allowed to eat either of them. But however, only one of them is Gidanoshe, the other one is going to become Noisar. So the other one, which is Noisar, and therefore you have to burn both of them, that's the Gidin mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, according to Rav Ikur Bar Chinina, Rav Chisda's answer will still apply, even and without having to be proof that Rabbi Yehuda was actually doubtful whether it's the right one or whether it was certain that it's the right-hand one. Continues the Gemara of Ashi. Omar of Ashi's got a different explanation to the Mishnah. We're actually not talking about the Gid Hanoshe. The Gid Hanoshe is osir and is not allowed to be eaten, and there's no noisar. We're talking about the fats on the Gid Hanoshe. The Tani we learned in a Braisa. Shamnoi mutar minatera, you're allowed to eat the fats of the Gid Hanoshe. The Yisrael Kadeshim Heim, however, Klal Yisrael are very holy, and they took upon themselves not to eat even the fats on that sinew, which is osur. And the custom was to not eat it. And therefore, since minatoira you're allowed to eat it, noisar would apply to them. Since the custom was not to eat it, they wouldn't eat it, and therefore it would definitely end up being burnt. Ravina Omar. Ravina gives a third answer, that he says that the Gid Hanoshe is actually two different sinews. Bechitza is talking about the outer sinew. The Gid Hanoshe actually has two sinews. Pnimi hasamuch le'etzem, the inner sinew, the one that's closer to the bone. Osur is osur to eat it, v'chayov in olav. If you eat it, you're chayev. Chitzin, however, the outer one, hasamuch le'bosa, which is just completely absorbed, or is balua, Rashi says, inside the meat, osur. It's osur, but only midrabonon. Ve'in chayov in olav. If you eat it, you're not going to be chayev min ha-Torah. It's only osur midrabonon. Since that outer sinew of the Gid Hanoshe is only osur midrabonon, therefore, you can't say noisar doesn't apply to it, because min ha-Torah you could eat it. So noisar does apply to it, and that's the gidin mentioned in the Mishnah are going to be burnt, and you're not allowed to eat it, because there's osur to eat it midrabonon. Continues the Gemara. Chol tezayin v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to burn the noisar of Korban Pesach on Yom Tov itself. You have to burn it not on the 15th, on the 16th. If the 16th was on Shabbos, you're not allowed to burn the kochim on Shabbos either. You have to do it on the 17th, the first day of Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, V'amai, neisa asei, v'yitchi lois asei. Why do you say you're not allowed to burn the noisar on Yom Tov, as the Mishnah actually concluded, Lefish Einam Doichin, Loyes HaShabbos V'Loyes HaYom Tov, why don't you say that you can burn it on Yom Tov on the 15th? And the mitzvah saseh of burning the noisar will override the lois saseh of not doing a melacha on Yom Tov. We know that aseh doich lois saseh. And the Gemara is going to have here four explanations why you do not use the rule of aseh doich lois saseh to allow them to burn the noisar of Korban Pesach on the first day of Pesach. Omar Chizkia, v'chein ton de b'chizkia, Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, lo yisoy siru mimenu ad boiker, don't leave over on any of the korban till the morning, v'anoisar mimenu, and if you do leave it over, it could have said, bo'esh tisreifu, you have to burn it. It's not what it says. It says, ad boiker, bo'esh tisreifu. It again says, it repeats again, the ad boiker until the morning. She'ein Talmud loymar ad boiker. It didn't have to say the second time ad boiker. Ma Talmud loymar ad boiker. What is the second time ad boiker coming to teach us? Litin loy boiker she'ini lisreifosu. As if it's an explicit pasuk that says, don't leave it over till the morning of the 15th. And if you do, then the following morning on the 16th, that's when you should burn it. So it's as if you have an explicit posuk so that you burn the noisa of the Korban Pesach on the 16th, not on the 15th. That's the first answer. Second answer, Abaye Omar Kra, because it said we learn from a posuk The pasuk says, Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi. The oila, the korban of Shabbos, you can offer onto the mizbeach on Shabbos. Al oilas atomid v'nisko. So what does it mean, Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi? That the korban of Shabbos you can bring on Shabbos, that only the korban of Shabbos is allowed to be offered on Shabbos, v'loy oilas choil b'Shabbos. But the leftovers, the imurim, the parts of the korban of the weekday, of Erev Shabbos, are not allowed to be burnt on the Mizbeach on Shabbos. V'loy oilas choil, nor is one allowed to put the parts of the weekday korban, for example, korban Pesach, which the day it was shechted and the day which the parts, the imurim, need to be put on the mizbeach is the 14th of Nisan. Be Yom Tov, they're not allowed to be offered up onto the mizbeach on Yom Tov, on the night of the 15th. So if even the parts of the korban Pesach itself are not allowed to be put on the mizbeach on the 15th on Yom Tov, then of course the noisar of the korban Pesach you're not allowed to burn on the 15th. And even though there is a pasuk that seems to say that there's parts of the Korban Pesach that you're allowed to put onto the Mizbeach on the night of the 15th, then we already saw in Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis that is only talking about if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos and the parts of the Shabbos Korban are allowed to be put onto the Mizbeach on Yom Tov. But if the Erev Yom Tov is a regular weekday, it's a choil, you're not allowed to put anything of that behema onto the Mizbeach on Yom Tov. And Kol Shekein, you're not allowed to burn the Noisar on Yom Tov. Rava Omer. Rava gives a third answer. Omer Kro, regarding the Melachas you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, it says in the pasuk, "Uvayim arishayin mikra kodesh, uvayim ashvim mikra kodesh yelochem kol melacha lo yase bohem." You're not allowed to do most melachas. Ach asher yeochel lechol nefesh, but if you need it for oichel nefesh, as we call it, you need it in order to eat on Yom Tov. Hu levadoy yase lochem. Then it only you're allowed to do. These two words, hu and levado, seem superfluous. Just say the only melachas you're allowed to do are those that are preparing for food. Says the Gemara, says Rava, hu, when it says that hu, v'loy machshirov, you're only allowed to do what you have to do to prepare for food. But those melachas that you could have done in preparing the food before Yom Tov, which is only machshirim, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. And the word levado is telling us that there's certain melachas you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. However, levadoi, only these to the exclusion of a different melacha. What is that excluding? Excluding something that really belongs to Yom Tov, and nonetheless you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. And that is somebody who the ninth day after he was born, is on Yom Tov. The milah should have been done on the eighth day. They didn't do it for good or bad reasons. Now, it's incumbent upon him to do bris milah on the ninth day. Are you allowed to be doicha Yom Tov? Are you allowed to override Yom Tov and do the bris milah if it's not the eighth day? No. That's what it says, levadoi, v'loi milah sh'loi bizmano, but a milah which is not on the right day, since it should have been done the day before. And it doesn't have to be done today, and it can be done tomorrow. That's the main point. Since it can be done after Yom Tov, it does not override Yom Tov. And the same is going to apply here with Noisar. Noisar, it's a mitzvah to burn it the next morning. Okay, but do you have to burn it on Yom Tov? You can, for the same token, you can burn it after Yom Tov. If Milah Shlei Bizmanoi is not Doicha Yom Tov because it can be done the next day, so too the Shreifas Noisar, which can be done on Chol HaMoed, does not override Yom Tov. That means there is a reason to believe, there is a kal v'chomer, some place that would have told us that you're allowed to override Yom Tov to do milah shelo bizmano. However, Levadoi teaches us, no, since you can do it the next day, don't do it on Yom Tov. Exactly what this kal v'chomer is, that we would have learned from the kal v'chomer that milah shelo bizmano overrides Yom Tov, is a big discussion in the Rishonim. Rashi's got one explanation, Tosfos brings another few, and it's not worth going into it here, but the Gemara just tells us there is a kal v'chomer, and to exclude that kal v'chomer, the pasuk says, levadoi v'loi milah shelo bizmano. Rav Ashi Omar, and this is the fourth explanation why we don't burn the noisar on Yom Tov, because the pasuk says, Ach b'chamisha osu yom l'chodesh ha-shvi ba'os b'chem es tzvuas ha-oretz t'chogu es chag ha-shem shivas yomim ba'yom ha-rishon shabosoin u b'yom ha-shmini shabosoin. Yom Tov is called shabosoin. And the Shabbosin tells us, rest on Yom Tov. That means, what was the whole question? There's an assay to burn Noisar. There's a Lois assay, don't do a Melach on Yom Tov. Assay doich a Lois assay. Says Ravashi, but there's something else with Yom Tov. Yom Tov, besides for being a Lois assay, besides for having a prohibition of doing Melachas, there's a mitzvah assay to rest. So it's assay v'lois assay. Any melacha you do transgresses also an assay of Shabbosin, also the lois assay. So Shabbosin, the Yom Tov assayhu, that Yom Tov also has an assay, ve'en assay doich lois assay v'assay. The assay of Sreifas Kochim doesn't override Yom Tov, which is both an assay and a lois assay. So those are four explanations why assay doich lois assay would not allow us to burn the Kochim, to burn the Korban Pesach, the Noisar, on Yom Tov. And therefore, you burn it on the first day Chol HaMoed, providing it's not Shabbos. And Emir Tzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.